Amen. The book of Philippians, in chapter 1, Paul here talks about verse 3, thanking God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4, he talks about prayer. And verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. And we're going to talk this morning after prayer about fellowship. He had met these believers years before. And he's saying, look, I remember that time and the fellowship we've had over the years. And so we're going to look at fellowship in the church. And I know we could have maybe done it next week, but it might be good this week, seeing we're talking about fellowship, to congratulate Mrs. Lamb, because this Friday she's going to be 90. Of course, you shouldn't say a woman to age. Oh dear, I'm in trouble. But it's been quite a number of years since I first met Mrs. Lamb, so this passage is appropriate. We can thank the Lord for remembrances back into the 60s, 1960s, when we first met Mrs. Lamb. And we do congratulate her with a few days to go, and I trust she'll have a good time even this Friday, remembering those 90 years. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together, please. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that many of us can say this morning of fellow believers that we've met, just as Paul said here many years before, that we can thank God for every remembrance of them. Lord, we picture Paul in prison, thinking back with joy to Christians he's met, churches he's been in. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for the fellowship of the believers. Lord, we do pray that Thou bless us as we have this study of Thy word this morning, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. What does the term fellowship mean? When I say it, we probably think, well, a cup of tea in the church hall, a chat, an outing, a social activity, a meal. Now, those things are good. They're very good. In fact, they're needful, I believe, in a church to get together, to know each other. But we have to say that while those things are good, and we refer to them often as fellowship, fellowship goes much deeper than that. Fellowship in the New Testament goes much deeper. Now, the term translated fellowship in Philippians 1 verse 5 and many other places is a Greek word that's also translated sometimes by the word communion. Exactly the same word. Communion. Fellowship. It's translated partner. It's translated partnership. That gives an idea of the word. In fact, the Greek word that's translated by those words, we use it every day in the English. You see, every day we use these. 50p. Coins. You see, the first four letters of the Greek word is coin. Koinia. In other words, in Philippians 1 verse 5, what I'm saying is, if you were reading that in the original language in which it was written, it would be, I thank God for your koinia. And the first four letters of that Greek word have been used for coins. Why? Because a coin is something we have in common. There was a time years ago when there wasn't a common currency, and people would, well, I'll give you so many cows if you give me so many this, or you give me that and I'll give you. And there was no common currency. But of course, governments introduced a common currency that's accepted by all people. Common. Sharing it. And so they called it the same word, fellowship. It's exactly the same term. What does fellowship mean then? It means something we share in common. It means a partnership. It means we're united by something upon which we agreed. Now, the church is to be a fellowship, a partnership, a communion. We're to share something in common. And one of the characteristics of the early church, way back in chapter 2, we mentioned it last week, when the early church in Jerusalem, 3,000 converted, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. We spoke about that last week. The importance of teaching. Teaching. Pointed out that we, though we're a Free Presbyterian church, we hold to the worldwide Catholic or universal early church's teaching, the New Testament teaching. We hold to that. We hold to what was taught in the Bible. We hold to the great doctrines of the faith. So doctrine is so important. But then after doctrine, it says they continued in fellowship with each other. That's what we're talking about this morning. Now, the word fellowship isn't used specifically in chapter 11 and 13 of the church in Antioch. But when you study the church at Antioch, and I trust you'll read over chapter 11 again, beginning of chapter 13, you will find that the evidences and the blessings of fellowship are mentioned. They're illustrated. Though the word itself doesn't occur, it is quite clear the congregation at Antioch enjoyed fellowship one with another. But I want us to look at Philippians, another church, because Paul uses the word often in this epistle, and it'll help us to understand this morning what fellowship meant for early Christians and what church fellowship ought to mean to us. And I trust it'll help us as a congregation, and I'm glad we can say this morning, this is a congregation that fellowships one with another. We're glad we can say that this morning. It does share one another's burdens, but still, it'll do us good to look at the New Testament pattern, to see what fellowship really means, what it entails. And the first thing I want you to notice is in verse 5 of Philippians 1, it is a special fellowship. We can have much in common with many different people, but this is a special fellowship. It's a fellowship in the gospel. In fact, we can say the church fellowship is something to which you must be invited, and I can't invite you. You see, there's a verse, obviously for time I can't turn to these verses. 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of Christ Jesus, his Son. You were called into the fellowship. God has to do the calling. What does that mean? You see, it's the fellowship of the gospel of his Son. This fellowship that we have as Christians in the local church, of course, we have a fellowship with every Christian, no matter where they're from, no matter what church they attend or anything like that. Every believer, we have brothers and sisters, but in a local church fellowship. We fellowship one with another because, first of all, we fellowship with God. We fellowship with God. That's the important one. You see, in the book, Church of Antioch in Acts 13:1, there's a whole list of names of different people from different backgrounds. But they had this thing in common. They had come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. That was the basis of the fellowship. And it's interesting in Acts 13:1, I read it to you earlier. They were diverse culturally, ethnically, socially, but they were in one local congregation. I read about a man called Simeon. He was from Africa. The Bible says he was a colored man. Then you'll read of those that came from Europe. Lucius was a Cyrenian. That means he was a Gentile. He was Greek. Saul was a Pharisee before he was converted. Of the sect, that is, the group. He was a very religious Jew. Do you know Jews wouldn't even sit at the same table as Gentiles? They wouldn't even eat out of the same plate. Wouldn't even do that. In fact, earlier in chapter 11, it tells you that Peter got into trouble with some of the professed Christians because he sat down with Gentiles and ate at the same table. And then you have Manaen, and it says he was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He was royalty. He mixed with princes. And your individual 5/8 would call them. So this church was made up of people who were of different colors, different ethnic background, better way of putting it. Different cultures, different social strata. But listen, they were all one through Christ. That's the point. They all had come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were united. That's why this is a special fellowship. You see, in this congregation, there's a fellowship because we've come to know Christ as Savior. We're from different backgrounds, and indeed some of those different countries here this morning. brought up different backgrounds. Yet we're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you were brought into the fellowship with Christ when there was a time in your life when you realized you were at enmity with God. You were not in fellowship with Him. They didn't know Him as your Father, but you came through Christ. You realized that we can only have our sins forgiven by a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did in Calvary, it's not by my efforts, it's not by my church attendance, it's not by my baptism, it's not by taking the Lord's table, those things are good in their place. It's not by my prayers or efforts, it's by Christ. And when you trusted Christ, you were born again of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God led you to trust in Christ, we could say it that way. He was the one convicted you and converted you and placed you into the church. And He's your Father. And now you have a fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a special fellowship. It has family connotations. I know today there is, of course, a common sharing with every other man or woman, human being on this planet. Yes, we have that common sharing. But in the church there's a special fellowship because we're children born again by the Spirit of God. Yes, you'll hear many people saying, but we're all children of God. Now, we're all creatures of God in that sense. But I know of a church one time, and they don't really preach this gospel of saving grace. They had a big poster outside the church. And it had, we are all, or you all are the children of God. You all are the children of God. That sounds good. But by taking a phrase out from Galatians 2, that's where that occurs, they were given a wrong impression. Because you know what the whole text says? You're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The verse wasn't saying that everybody in the world are children of God in that saving sense. There's actually a church, a Unitarian church, believes everyone will be in heaven. No, no. What Paul was saying in Galatians is we're from different backgrounds. Jew and Gentile. Ah, but you're one now in fellowship because you're the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This is a special, special fellowship. You know, if you have a concordance, look up the time the words fellow occurs. Old English way of saying that we're in unity. Fellow citizens, fellow servants, fellow workers, fellow laborers, fellow prisoners, fellow soldiers, fellow disciples, fellow heirs. So I want to make the point this morning. Let me emphasize it. The church fellowship is a special fellowship. Special fellowship. Of course, we friendship with other people. Of course, you can have friendship with lots of. We ought to have friendship with all types of people. How else can we win people to the Lord? How else can we win them to Christ? Of course, we're the friends with all different types of people. But we don't have spiritual fellowship. Because really, you can only have that spiritual fellowship with those of like precious faith who are in Christ. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6 and said, What fellowship of light with darkness? You see, they were still, or to put it another way, remember the verse of Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's why we can't have, quote, spiritual fellowship with groups that don't hold to the Word of God. It's a special fellowship, and you'll find in the New Testament, you know, we shake hands with many people. Of course we do, friendship. But when men and women were received into the early church, and we do this when people are received into full communicant membership, we give them the right hand of fellowship. Why? Because in Galatians 2 and 9, there were two leaders of the church at Antioch. Names mentioned in chapter 13:1, Paul and Barnabas. And they traveled down to the church of Jerusalem. You know what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 9? Peter and John and James, apostles, they gave to us their right hands of fellowship. They weren't just saying we're good friends. They were saying, brother, give me your hand as a symbol that we're one in Christ. You know, fellowship, usually we talk about fellowship around a meal, and that's true.
And in the church, we have a special fellowship for believers around the table, around a meal. We call it the Lord's table. When we meet at the Lord's table, we're saying we're in fellowship with the Lord and we're in fellowship with one another. A special fellowship. Special. Turn to chapter 2 of Philippians. This fellowship that we talk about is not only a fellowship that's special, but it's of the Spirit. You see it there in verse 1? If, by the way, isn't in doubt, it's used in the sense of a rhetorical question. So it's saying, yes, there is fellowship. The fellowship of the Spirit. This fellowship that we're to have as a church, the Holy Spirit forms this fellowship. It's not a man-made fellowship. Oh, yes, we have rules and we're individuals in that sense, human, yes. Organization, there has to be organization, but the church is more than that. A New Testament church is created by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit, then you're not a true Christian. A Christian is a miracle. Christian is when the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts you and shows you of your need of Christ. And then reveals to you the Lord Jesus Christ and reveals to you that in Calvary he took your sin in his own body to the tree. That he took your punishment that you should have had in hell. And he, as the Spirit of God, enables you to put your faith in Christ as your Savior. And the Spirit of God, we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, he baptizes you, not talking about water baptism, but placing into. He places you into the church, the body of Christ. And then, of course, those who have this experience ought to gather together in the local church. It's a God-created fellowship. But the church ought to be a fellowship where the Holy Spirit oversees that fellowship. You remember I read to you in Acts 13 and 2. Very interesting phrases. I wonder if you noticed them as I was reading it. It says in Acts 13, 2 about this New Testament church at Antioch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, listen, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work we're on to have called. In verse 4, these two missionaries were sent out by the Holy Ghost. But in the end of verse 3, the church sent them away. See that in Acts 13 and 2, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, that does not mean that he spoke with an audible voice. I do not believe for one second that it means they gathered together and all of a sudden there was a voice from heaven. Not at all. I don't believe that. What I believe is the Holy Spirit impressed it upon the minds and hearts of the leaders and then of the whole congregation that this is what we ought to do. And the congregation and the leaders, they were united to send these two men out as missionaries, two of their best teachers. We'll give them to spread the gospel. And it pleased the congregation. But the Holy Spirit put it in their heart. That's the point. The Holy Spirit was brooding over that meeting. The Holy Spirit was brooding over that fellowship. You see, for us to be a church fellowship that we ought to be, it's not a matter, yes, we must be believers. That's the special fellowship. But that's not enough to have a group of believers together. There must be a seeking of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. We have to ask that the Holy Spirit would fill us. What does that mean? That every morning, every one of us believers say, Lord, today take my life, take my hands, my feet, my mind, everything for your service. Control me today. Use me. And as every believer is controlled by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Those are all spiritual terms in the New Testament. What happens? The fellowship comes together and the Holy Spirit broods over the fellowship. And I love the verse in 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it's lovely. This is what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. God's ideal for Newton Ards Free Presbyterian Church is that we will know fellowship one with the other, but that the Holy Spirit will be over our fellowship. And as each of us submit to the Holy Spirit, he will guide us closer together and glorify Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit's ministry is to glorify Christ. And when he broods over a congregation, Christ is glorified. And when the Holy Spirit is sovereign in a fellowship, there's liberty. What does that mean? There's a great love and unity and joy among the people of God when the Holy Spirit is controlling the faith. Oh, that the Holy Spirit, have you ever prayed? Will you pray? Lord, may the Holy Spirit rule this congregation in Newton Arch. May we be directed in all we do by the Holy Spirit. What is a New Testament church fellowship? It's a fellowship that's special. It's a fellowship of the Spirit. Turn to Philippians 3:10 to see the next one. It's a fellowship that's sacrificial. Middle of the verse, Paul is speaking about Christ. Yes, I know he's speaking of his relationship with Christ, but it obviously applies to our fellowship with one another. He says that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in Calvary. He suffered coming into this world. Why? So that you could have fellowship with him. And the same principle applies as you come to be a member of a church. You're part of the fellowship. And yes, we enjoy the fellowship one with another. But listen, genuine fellowship will cost. Costs. It costs to share your love with others. Costs. Now thank God there's a wonderful reward and there's wonderful fellowship and we are blessed. But we're emphasizing here, it costs. You see, you're to share your love. A church is to be a place where true love is given and shared. And if you'll not find love in a church, where else will you find it? The world today talks about love, sings about love, puts on plays and writes books about love, and yet most of it's so shallow, it's not real love. Love is caring for the other person. Lord willing, we'll talk about that more next week. This church had compassion. Just let me say this morning, though, fellowship means you share your love. And love always costs. It's a giving of yourself. It's a giving of your time. It's a giving of your time. Aren't you glad as a believer that the Lord always has time to listen to your problems? That when you come to the mercy seat, the Lord is never too busy and said, I don't want to listen to you. That the Lord's ears always open to your cry. That he always has time for you. That's how we ought to be with each other. For those who are going through trials. For those who are going through problems. You see, society today is so self-centered. I'm speaking in general, of course. There are exceptions, but in general, society has become so introverted, so self-centered. Me, me, mine. But listen, to have fellowship, there has to be a sharing of your time. There has to be a sharing of your talents. God gives gifts. We've talked about that before, so no need to go into it. Gifts. Every believer has a gift. Christian, you've a gift that, for you to use by the power of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to every other church member. It involves giving money. It's always hard for ministers and preachers to speak on money because people think, oh, you're getting at them. Well, I thank God in this church you know that that's not true. But we have to point out something here. Do you know in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4 it speaks about the fellowship of ministering to the saints? The same word, fellowship. Look here in Philippians chapter 4 verse 14. I'm saying that true fellowship, it'll cost you something. And I'm not just thinking about money. I've talked about your time and talents and so on. But this is about money. Paul was in prison, hundreds of miles away. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did fellowship with... Oh, hold on a minute. It says communicate. It's the same word. Exactly the same word. Communicate with my afflictions. Look in the middle of verse 15. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He's talking about fellowshipping by giving. You see, he was a missionary out on the mission fields, and he's saying, you fellowship with me with your gifts. With your gifts, you gave. So fellowship is a giving of ourselves to other believers. It's a giving of our time. It's a giving of the gifts that God has given us. It's even a giving of our money sometimes to help others. And of course, for the work of the church and the work of missionary work. That's how you fellowship. It's not simply, and thank God, it is part, of course, talking and getting to know each other. How can you really fellowship unless you get to know each other? Yes, we thank God, the friendliness. But I'm saying fellowship goes deeper than that. It's a sharing of ourselves, a sharing even of our finances, it's a sharing in prayer. This is in chapter 1:5, when Paul spoke about fellowship in the gospel, two verses before in the verse, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he talks about prayer. Prayer. Do you know we fellowship with each other in prayer? We meet around the common mercy seat. We pray for one another. Look at chapter 1:19, just very quickly. Paul was in jail. And what does he say? Hundreds of miles, he's writing this letter. For I know that this, that's his imprisonment and your prayers and what's happening, shall turn to my salvation or deliverance through your prayer. He says, I know God is going to deliver me in this situation. Why? Because you're praying for me. And back in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, I'm praying for you. No wonder Paul says, I thank God for your fellowship. Because he knew this congregation. Listen, brethren, I'm praying for you. And I know that you're praying for me. In fact, you know what he says in chapter 1, if you read it carefully. He says, when he writes this letter, he said, I want you to know, don't worry about me in jail. Because I'm brokenhearted that you're worried that you're worrying for me. He said the same about Epaphroditus in chapter 2, a man who was near death and raised up. And he said, he was so sorry. I'm paraphrasing it. So sorry to hear that you were worried about him. In other words, it was hurting him that they were worrying about his sickness. That's true love. That's true fellowship. That's true concern. And Paul, they're praying for one another. You see, can you see what a church fellowship is? The prayer. And when we're on it, just let's put in a good word for the prayer meeting before the services and the weekly prayer meeting. I know many are busy and there's duties and can't always attend, but seek to be at the prayer meeting if you can, to pray for one another. It's an important part of fellowship. Certainly at home, remember the various brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for them. Uphold them at the throne of grace. That's part of fellowship around the common mercy seat. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. Here's something else about what it costs to share. Look at the very end of verse 7, chapter 1. He's speaking about his bonds in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are, now note in your Bible, partakers. In fact, the margin of my Bible, partakers with me of grace. See that word, partakers? It's exactly the same word translated fellowship in verse 5. He's saying, I'm in jail, but you're standing with me. He's there because he preached the gospel. He's been persecuted. And he's saying, you stood with me. You're fellowshipping with me in my suffering. You're fellowshipping with me in my suffering. Later on, he says, it's given to you means as a gift to suffer. Remember I told you some weeks ago about Christians I met over in Romania, or from Romania when they were here, and they said, you people in Northern Ireland, there's one gift of God you haven't got yet. And that is the privilege of suffering for Christ. The privilege of suffering. I know we say, well, that just blows your mind. Blows your mind. But it's true. It's true. The suffering. He said, we'll stand for the gospel. And you know, there's a fellowship in this church because we stand for the faith. It's not always rosy. There are times we're in a battle. And Paul says here twice in chapter 1, I'm set for the defense. I'm a soldier. And in war, people get hurt. Do you know, there's a great camaraderie among soldiers who've been out in the battlefield. You meet an old soldier who's been through a war. Mr. McMillan, Edith's father, has passed away. He was a soldier in the First World War, served in Burma, served in India. He had his medals there, his father, medals from the First World War and so on. And there's a great camaraderie. When you get soldiers been through the same battle in Burma and they meet my, there's great camaraderie. Oh, we're in the same battle. It's understandable. They've come through thick and thin together. They've come through the fire of the enemy. And that's the way it is in the church. See, the church of God, we're to be standing for the Lord in an evil day. We're to stand for truth. Paul was put in jail for standing for the faith. And he's saying, I know you people, no matter the cost. You see, we suffer together.
We suffer together for the cause of Christ. That's what unites us. I'm not going to it again for time this morning, but you read Acts chapter 15. Do you know what this church in Antioch, there were teachers came up from Jerusalem who were teaching falsehood and saying, oh, it's not enough to believe in Christ. You have to be circumcised, you men. You have to become Jews. And the church, they said, this isn't right. So they commissioned Paul and Barnabas to go down to the church at Jerusalem and have a conference to sort this out, this question. And of course, the result was that that false teaching was stopped and put out. They stood for the truth together. That's what we're to do as a fellowship. One last thing, just in closing. This fellowship is special. Oh, that our church fellowship here would be special this morning. Well, yes, we do a friendship. You friendship with people outside the church. I do. That's good. But there's a special fellowship with a fellow believer that the world knows nothing about because we're one in Christ. We love the same Savior. We've had the same experience of trusting Him, being converted. Special fellowship. And it's a fellowship of the Spirit. It's a fellowship that's sacrificial. It's a fellowship that is, last one, satisfying. Satisfying. You know, if we fulfill all these conditions, you'll have joy. When Paul speaks about their fellowship in chapter 1, what does he say in verse 4? Your joy. He said, for your fellowship, and then he said, every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Paul had been away from this church. Some people think it's 16 years he's been away. And he's in a prison cell. And he writes back and he says, here I am lying in prison. But you know, every time it comes into my mind, when I was there among you in the church, my, the joy just floods into my soul again. Those times of fellowship we had together in prayer. Those times we stood together when there was sorrow and difficulty and heartache. My, even the very thought of you Christians fills me with joy. You know, that's our experience ought to be with the local church. That ought to be our experience here in Newton Arms. That you have great joy because you're a member of the fellowship. Oh, ultimately our joy is in Christ. Fellowship's because of the Lord. But a believer who doesn't really get into the fellowship in the local church and get involved, you're missing out on the joy of the Lord. You're missing out on satisfying fellowship. Recently, I read a story of a man called Muhammad. So you'd guess he was, of course, of Muslim extract. And through the Christian radio stations in his country in the Middle East, he heard the gospel. He wrote away for Christian literature to Britain. And he did come to know Christ as a Savior. And through the radio broadcast and through letter, he was able to keep in touch with believers. And for about 5 years, he went on with the Lord. And then he got a letter from Britain saying that one of the men connected with the radio would be visiting that particular Islamic country. And could they meet up? They agreed to meet up. You know that radio station? It was this, I'm quoting from Operation Mobilization, if you know that organization. They said in their little snippet they had on this, that that man, Muhammad, he didn't sleep for 3 nights before. So excited was he that he was going to actually meet a fellow Christian for the first time in his life, spiritual life. Been converted for some years, but only corresponded by letter. And when he met that Christian from Britain, he said, my first experience of Christian fellowship was more wonderful than I ever could have imagined. As they met a fellow believer in the Lord, as they prayed together and talked together of the Lord and their common experiences, what joy. That's what a New Testament church ought to be. That's what we ought to be here in Newton Arms. A church where we join together and fellowship one with the other. I remember my late father, when he was working, worked full time and outreach, mostly in Southern Ireland. He was Baptist pastor in Athlone for a number of years. And he told a story once when he was speaking on his work And being a countryman, he said when he was a boy, he remembered one of the cows on the Ford farm got stuck in the mud. And his dad and the two boys, they couldn't get it out. So he was sent round the neighbouring farms quick to come and get help. Come on and help, neighbours, come and help get this cow out of the mud. And so lots of neighbours came round and got the ropes and so on and got the cow out of the mud. And my dad said this, I'm going down to Athlone, little Baptist church there. This was in his home church in Belfast. Will you come and hold the ropes? Will you come and help us? We need you. We're all in this together. Each of us need help. Each of us will have our cow stuck in the mud sometime. You mightn't be a farmer, but you know what I mean. Each of us at some time will need help. And we need to come and help each other. May God teach us to fellowship one with another. Let's turn.